That's the passage where the Israelites are all the way to the place and they won't go in because they're grasshoppers in their own eyes. Their identity is we are grasshoppers, and grasshoppers cannot go into the land, and they don't. And so I say to people, don't be Numbers 13:33. You're the one that stopped yourself. Satan didn't stop you. The enemy didn't stop you. Your own wrong view of yourself stopped you. Ask God what he says about you and live by what he says about you. Learn to believe what he says and go with him.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be an extremely empowering episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my special guest joining me today, his life is inspirational. You look at his life and you see what can happen as we yield ourselves to the friendship that we can have and live from that place of union. It is our privilege now, the life that we can live with Jesus leading. He is a former Metro DC area police officer. He spent about 30 years working in the Muslim world, teaching people how to hear God and to live kingdom life as a reality. He's the author of the incredible best-selling book, Living Fearless. And he's now just released an outstanding accompanying guided journal that I've been going through, and I've been getting completely overwhelmed by the love of Jesus all over again as I've been going through it. He and his wife speak internationally, and essentially what they do is they help people understand who we each uniquely, individually are, our true identity in Jesus, and then to come free, to live a life of absolute true freedom. So I encourage you, if you can just sit quietly and soak in the conversation for this next 30 minutes, you're going to get nuggets of truths that will transform your life, literally. So it's my joy and my honor to welcome into the conversation with me today, Jamie Winship. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor to be with you. Thank you.
No, thank you. We appreciate you giving us your precious time. Okay. Like I said, before we jumped on together on air, there's about 1,000 questions that I want to ask you. Just reading your book and listening to your story. So I'm going to try and be very, very focused to just draw some of the nuggets out of you that I know will be going to be so impacting for all of us. So I wanted to start by reading a quote that you make. You make so many massive statements. What you've really learned to be true of Jesus and kingdom life, I think. So there's so many times in the book I stopped and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, life-changing moment there. But I just wanted to start with this. You say, a person's vocation, though certainly encompassing what they do for money, is far more than what we understand as a job. It's what they were made for. The way they were wired to show up in any given situation, their purpose in life, but also the way of living that enables them to be most free in any given situation. Living in your vocation, one that flows from your truest self, this is the bit that absolutely blew me away, is the only real way to thrive in this life. And I just sat there with Jesus thinking, oh my gosh, that's massive. So I wanted to jump off there if we can, Jamie, and just ask you, how, huge question, how do we discover, where do we start? Or to discover our true self, not the way the world's defined us and all the noise and the clutter of that, But actually, how do we connect and identify, this is actually the real, deep, true me in Christ?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's, I think that's the invitation of all of Scripture, is for us to get our identity from God and not from what we do, what we have, and what people think about us, which is where almost all of us gain identity. So it's really, I mean, I really kind of explored this as a police officer and then later overseas, but it's really the simple process of, in the scriptural vocabulary, it's confession, repentance, transformation. In the when we're working, you know, in police departments or schools or wherever, we call it truth tell, mind change, form change. So confession is truth telling. That's what it is. It's not spending a long time telling God how sorry you are about stuff, because you live in his forgiveness. But confession is telling the truth. Repentance is then God telling you his truth. So you're exchanging what you believe to be true, which is usually not true, for what he says is true about you, about your world, your vocation, and then changing the form of how you live based on what he says. So it's just a very simple but sacred process of confession, repentance, transformation, truth tell, mind change, form change. We live in it all the time. And so the thing that's really moving to people, all people, Muslims and Christian background people and all of it, is to be able to just tell the truth to God or even to another person. And the first question we'll ask is like, let's just say all the things and names you believe about yourself that hurt you. Just to start there. This is actual confession. And for middle school kids in public schools to special forces people, it's such a release of a burden to just say, I think I'm not smart. I think I'm ugly. I think I'm a failure. I'm unseen. You know, I'm unworthy. Just to be able to let that come out instead of trying to push it down or cope with it your whole life, you know, with Bible verses or practices, just tell Jesus the truth about what really hurts you. And it's very moving to people. And you're not saying, you know, I'm addicted to drugs. It's deeper than that. It's like, I basically don't love what God did when God made me. And then telling that truth, confessing that, and then as you kind of sweep that house clean and clear for the 5 minutes of the first time in your life that you've told the truth at that level, then give it to the Lord. Give those to him. He wants to take those from you, those lies. And then ask him in that beautiful empty space, what do you say about me? What do you call me? And just listen. And it's overwhelming what God will say back to his creation. It's what makes people worship. It makes you fall down in humility and say, that's what you think about me? Okay, and then now the challenge is, now live like that. Now walk like that in your vocation, in your school. It's very powerful. So it's not a complicated process, but it's incredibly profound.
Yeah, that's just beautiful. It's very liberating. Well, it's completely liberating, isn't it? It's like you said, you know, you're bringing people into true freedom. Sustainable, supernatural freedom, because we were created to live that from that place. And it is just, I think so many of us, we're so busy in life, aren't we? And we numb out to the fact that we're lying to ourselves to cope with life. We're not actually connected to all the negativity, and we're carrying that round as heavy baggage. And I think that's it's profound what you're doing. It's simple biblical truth, isn't it? And once applied, we shift into a different life. And I love what you said then. It's like when in that empty space, now all that weight and clutter is lifted in that beautiful, quiet, still, authentic, empty place. When you start to hear Jesus, your life is changed. You live out of a different lens. You know, like I was saying to you before, before we jumped on, I've been going through your journal and absolutely love it. Because it's important, isn't it? Whatever stage of life we're at with Jesus, there's always more. And the world does crowd in and people do hurt us. And we have to keep decluttering and lifting off the pain and the wrong definitions of identity that can weight us down. And I just, in a simple moment, there was a dynamic I'm dealing with that was caught. I was aware I was feeling insecure. I was like, where's that coming from? And so did your process and just said to Jesus, what's the one word you would say to me? And he said, precious. And I was floored because when we hear him, like you said, it's a different lens. We go forward. Yeah. So important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing, like my wife says this all the time. She says, like, you know, I can tell her she's beautiful. That's fine. People can tell you things and try and affirm you. And it's a different thing when God speaks into your spirit, because that goes with you everywhere. It's deeper than what any human can say to us. And so I think what is moving to people about, you know, the book is the book is not saying I can do something or some person. The book is saying, get alone with Jesus and ask him these kinds of questions and learn to hear his voice. I mean, to help kids, the most we can do to help kids is help them understand how to hear God's voice and know their identity. Like if kids get those two principles, their resiliency level and creativity expands. And so instead of trying to make them resilient or make them innovative or creative, it's like teach them to hear the voice of God. And God can only speak to the true them. He can't speak to these cult constructs that we create because they're not real. He will only speak to his creation, right? And so you want to speak from your truth, true self to the truth of God. And that is the deep, beautiful connection. And we know from scripture that when we know and experience truth, the result is always freedom. Always. When we live in fear, guilt, and shame, then it's all the result is always conflict. Like that's always the result. And so the human heart is only motivated by two emotions whenever we're making a decision. Any decision that any human is making in any time in a day is either motivated by love or fear. Those are the only two. And so, and this is why the number one exhortation in scripture is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because fear shuts down creativity. It shuts down our ability to receive, not only from God, from anywhere. Kids can't learn when they're afraid. Adults can't receive new information when they're afraid. So even when Jesus comes into the disciples locked in the locked room after the resurrection, he comes inside their fear. He doesn't call them out of it. He walks into your locked rooms and he stands in the locked room of our false. And the first thing he says to them is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then he says, receive the Spirit. So it's really important that we are truth-telling with God all the time. And he knows it. He's not going to walk away from us because I think I'm, you know, a loser or beyond hope, beyond redemption. To be able to say that out loud, especially in community, is so liberating. It breaks the chains of the enemy because the enemy operates in secrecy, shame, and separation, isolation. That's where the enemy works. So, yeah, this is so you're connecting with God, you're connecting with community, you're connecting with the reality, the truth of who you actually are. And when you do that in your vocation, it's incredible the creativity a human can bring to whatever their vocation if the real them is working there, if the true them, instead of the competitive, self-protecting, self-promoting, jealous person.
Yeah, it's just a different life, isn't it? One is we're trying to attain identity, security, self-worth, validation, and so forth from achievement. And the other is we're living from the significance of who we actually are, the reality. And then we impact the world because we show up, like you said, in our authentic design in who we uniquely are in the Lord and understanding the value, that one of the stories you shared, oh my gosh, Jamie, I just thought it was absolutely incredible, was the Baghdad story with your son, talking about the impact of what happens in when you begin to move in your vocation from your actual identity. And so would you share that story? It was just so impacting.
Was I talking about the when he was a skateboarder, that story? Or
I think this is the Lord will do, right? It so illustrates everything you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I think then that's all, you know, it's all about parenting and all of that. And so we have three sons, and the youngest one was in eighth grade, and we were in the States temporarily. And we always talk about identity, and our identity comes from God. It doesn't come from people at school. So, you know, that you take your identity into a situation and you bring it out. You don't get it there and you can't lose it there. This is hugely liberating to human beings. And so he was working on that, praying about that. And he told me, came home and told me he was going to be, that God called him a skateboarder for Jesus, which I was like, wow, I don't know. That's an interesting one. I don't know if that one's in the Bible or not. But, and so I said, you don't even have a skateboard, do you? And he said, no. And I said, well, I guess that'll be step one of the process, is let's get a skateboard. And so get the skateboard. He tried, you know, and he's awful. He just falls down all the time. I felt like you're going to be a kid that falls down a lot for Jesus, maybe, but I don't know about the skateboarding part. But he was driven by that identity. And so and that's what happens. When you understand your identity, you move to excellence in that identity. It doesn't diminish what you do. It enhances, because now it's like my identity is my gift to the world, and I'm going to give it at the highest level I can. And that's why vocationally become quite good. So anyway, so he was practicing. And then I realized, you know, was notified we're going to get sent to Iraq when the war started. And so when I was, you know, I was telling each of our kids, they were at different stages of life, you know, we're going to Iraq and it's going to be difficult, but we're going. And so I told him that, and he was devastated, because he said, Dad, is there skateboarding in Baghdad in a war? And I said, I'm pretty sure it's not there. And it hurt him. And he said, how can you take me to a place where that's away from my identity? And I said, that's a great question. I'm sure that's not what God's doing, but I don't know. So let's both pray about it. So we prayed about it. And he came back to me after a week and he said, this is an eighth grader. he said, okay, I don't understand this, but you're my dad and you know, you have to do what God wants you to do. And so I'm not going to complain. We're going to go and it's going to be okay. So we get there and he brings a skateboard and we get there and, you know, it's a nightmare. We have to live in the population, because we're not military, we're State Department. And so we have to live inside the population and negotiate peace. Is really difficult. And so you can't even hardly go outside because the fighting is so heavy. But he just practices outside. And one day this M1 tank's coming down the street and he's skating down the street and this tank stops and these guys climb out, these Americans. And they're like, who are you? Like, because he had long blonde hair and, you know, he's on a skateboard in the middle of Baghdad in a war. And they're like, who are you? And he said, my parents work here and we live over there. And so the tank team were National Guardsmen from California and they were skaters. And so it's funny because just last year, I met actually one of those guys in a thing I was doing. He came up to me and said, we almost got court-martialed for what we did. But it turned out that their commander, it opened up his eyes to the kingdom and all kinds of cool. I didn't know any of that had happened, but this is what you find out later in life, you know, when you just do what the Lord asked you to do. And so, they encouraged him and, you know, taught him some stuff. And he went in and wrote an article to Thrasher magazine about skate Baghdad. So then he became known, because he's the only, because they're like surfers. They want to find a place that no one surfed before. And so here's this kid skate Baghdad. And so the professionals are like, we want to come there and be with you. But so he became kind of known. And then they sent a cargo load of skateboards and trucks for him to give out to the kids in the neighborhood, which he did. And then the National Guards guy said, come to there's a big park. It's empty. The fountains are empty because of the war. It's like a gigantic heavenly skate park. we're guarding it. You can come into it. And so he went there and we videoed it. About, I don't know, 150, 200 Iraqi teenagers came in that park, and he was showing them how to skateboard. It's the funniest thing. And then he became well known. And then we went to Jordan, and in Jordan, he just started skating immediately downtown Amman. And a Red Bull representative was there who saw him and came up to him and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And he told her, and she said, "You're good. You're good. So how would you like to be the first Red Bull sponsored skater in the Middle East?" And so he, you know, it was like a dream come true. And then the king gave him land for a skate park, and then they built a skate park, and it's there today, Seven Hills Skate Park. So all of that is when God tells you who you are. Our son would say, he's 35 now, he's a big surfer now. He would say, when God tells you you're a skateboarder for Jesus and then says, go to Baghdad, you run to Baghdad. You go, because that's where the door will be. So.
Oh, it's just incredible, isn't it? My gosh. And I love it. Like one of the things you said when I first heard you sharing some of that story, and you said, literally, he became unstoppable. When we connect to who we are, and the purpose the Lord has for us, that our individual identity gets expression through that in multiple ways. Heaven is backing you. You're online with what the Lord's put you on this planet to do, and you literally become unstoppable. And I just thought that your son proved that. That's real, you know.
That's right. And that's in that passage in Mark, where it's Mark 8 is talking about identity. And that's where Peter's talking about his identity and the identity of Jesus. And who do you say that I am? And when those identities are spoken rightly, that's where Jesus says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. That's where, what can hell do when you know, when humans know their identity in the kingdom and they can hear from God? Nothing can stop them. Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. And you obviously are living proof of that as well. You've discovered that. I mean, you've lived in some of the most dangerous places in the world, haven't you? Serving the king.
Yes.
And it's just staggering. If Jesus isn't real and his word isn't literal, you probably wouldn't be here, right?
I wouldn't even have gone. I wouldn't even have gone because we will never get out of the boat in the storm because we're afraid. That's where fear shuts us down. The thing I tell our people all the time is Numbers 13:33. That's the passage where the Israelites are all the way to the place and they won't go in because they're grasshoppers in their own eyes. Their identity is, we are grasshoppers, and grasshoppers cannot go into the land. And they don't. And so I say to people, don't be Numbers 13:33. You're the one that stopped yourself. Satan didn't stop you. The enemy didn't stop you. Your own wrong view of yourself stopped you. Ask God what he says about you and live by what he says about you. Learn to believe what he says and go with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like on your travels in the extraordinary epic journey that is your life with Jesus, what would you say that are some of the most important truths that you've learned about Jesus along the way that have just set the trajectory of your life?
That he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he's always with you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, that every situation we've been in, my wife and I have been abducted together, we've been in jail together, like all these different scenarios. We've been in lots of places where they've just determined to kill us. That's the plan. They tell us, we're going to kill you in this situation. And it just knowing that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid of evil because you are with me. That's why. Now, he's not going to rescue us out of situations. He's going with us into the situation. And this is my favorite prayer. Into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord. I'm not afraid of what's ahead because Jesus has always gone before me. And so he didn't take away suffering. He showed us the way to suffer. He didn't take away death. He made death into, he taught us what death really is, that it's a promotion, that it's gain. And so if you are convinced of that from him saying that to you, not you trying to talk yourself into it, him saying it, it's when you get in these situations where we're going to cut your throat right now, it's like the whole thing slows down And God, and the Lord is just like, just stay with me in the present moment. Don't get ahead. Don't get 1 minute ahead. Stay right with me, because my presence is only with you in the present tense, not in the future, not in the past, right now. So just walk with me each step of this, of the next hour. And it slows down and it becomes, it's not out of control. It never is. We're afraid it is. We've got to do something. We've got to fix something. He says, walk with me. Do say what I say, do what I do. And then you, as you go through it, you just watch him guide. And I can keep saying, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I'm not afraid of what's coming in the next minute or 2 minutes. I'm just going to take every thought captive and keep just walking with you and watch what he does. Because fear will shut us down. We'll back out. We'll overreact. We'll move away from his presence. But staying with the Prince of Peace, in peace, it's a discipline. You have to really train to do it. So that's what discipleship is all about, getting to that place where you can do that.
This is massive what you've just said, and the authority, because you've lived it in the most extreme circumstances as well. It imparts out of you the truth because you live it, you know, over and over and over. But what you just said then is like, to be present in that moment where you've obviously, your life's been threatened in that moment, to just come fully present and re-engage into the truth that he's in you there right now, the King of Glory. My gosh, that's the key, and
when a person says to you, we're going to kill you, the reality is Jesus is like, they don't have the power. Like, they don't. I do. They don't. Don't fall for the lie that they own your future. They don't. So just relax. Walk with me.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally the embodiment of those that follow me will not die. Jesus' words, right? Radical.
That's right.
Radical truth, but it's, you've lived it.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
My gosh. Oh my gosh, it's so impacting speaking to you, Jamie. Just in the few couple of minutes that we have left, can I ask you to pray for people?
Yeah. Yes, you absolutely. Love to.
Honor. The devil puts in your spirit. Yeah.
Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of who you are, Lord, the truth of your word, the truth of your presence. We're grateful, Lord. We bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You are Lord. You are true. You are real. You are always with us. You've never not been with us. And so, Lord, I just pray for every listener, every viewer, that, Lord, you would just help them have the courage to come tell you the truth about what they really believe about themselves and about you and about the world, that we can just come unto you when we're burdened, that we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. And we can just say, Lord, I just feel lost. I feel abandoned. I feel unseen. I feel powerless. And Lord, we can cast these on you and exchange them for your truth back to us, that you love us, that you're proud of us, that you've always been with us, that we're okay. It's going to be okay. And Lord, I just pray for every person hearing this, that they would run to your presence and learn to hear your voice above every other voice, above their own voice, of the world, the enemy. And Lord, that they, in your presence, they would find love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, Lord, in your presence. I just pray that you would search them and know them and lead them in the way everlasting, Lord. That would be our greatest act every day, moment by moment, is to just walk in your presence. And then, Lord, lead on, lead us on into becoming who we really are and all of its beauty and all of its power. And we're thankful, Lord, that you demonstrated your love to us, and that while we were your enemies, you died for us so that we would never fear death again. We're grateful. Bless the listeners, Lord. Bless these folks here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We agree that from here going forwards, you will increasingly live from your identity, not for identity and what you're trying to attain in life, but from your identity. And you'll begin to experience at a different level life and life in abundance, the fullness of everything Jesus intends in his heart for you to experience as life on earth here through your union Amen. With him. Amen. Amen. Jamie, thank you. It's amazing talking with you. It really is. And we just bless you and thank you for all the resources that you are producing for us, because it is life-changing for people. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. And guys, thank you for giving us your precious time. The links will be put below the show for you, so you'll be able to jump on and find Jamie's resources there, and have the most amazing week. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. 2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said, if I would create a space for him, he would come. And so I did. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation straight from their heart, from their own relationship with Jesus, into you. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. This is a supernatural mentoring community, and I do not want anyone to miss out. He is healing us. He's setting us free. He never, ever misses a week with us. His presence is so strong among us. He wants to do the same for you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. We are gathering at the feet of Jesus by his personal invitation. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.